नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूय श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनि नामिने नमः सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद वेद गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। जस्ट होल्ड ऑन फॉर वन सेकेंड। ओके सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर जॉइनिंग टुडे सेशन। सो एज प्रॉमिस्ड वी विल स्टार्ट द फर्स्ट चैप्टर ऑफ भगवद्गीता टुडे। सो लास्ट थ्री वीक्स वी हैड जस्ट सीन सम इंट्रोडक्शन। यू नो फर्स्ट वी डिस्कस्ड ऑन दिस थीम ऑफ how do we approach the commentaries by other acharyas, what should be our mood, what are the pitfalls, and you know, how do we understand the commentaries and things like that, because primarily we are going to discuss Srila, not primarily, we are only going to discuss the commentary by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which is a short commentary, not a very elaborate one, but very sweet commentary, which essentially presents all the Gaudiya Vaishnava conclusions at one place. So that way it's very wonderful. So and then after that we discussed the introduction by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to Bhagavad Gita. So now we will start with the first chapter, and as we discussed over the WhatsApp group, we will strictly try to stick to purely Bhagavad Gita based discussions in the first 1 hour, and if there are any additional discussion points that someone might have, we will have it after 9 o'clock. So now you know, once 9 o'clock we complete our Bhagavad Gita discussion, then we will start with those questions. I'm sure Shamli Mataji told that we might have questions based on or probably she herself has questions based on you know, something that we discussed, and I also sent about the art of quoting authoritatively, you know, some few quotes and lectures by Srila Prabhupada where he speaks about quoting from the Shastras, and also, you know, few things like that, maybe about, you know, Mahabharata and things like that. So those questions which are not directly connected to the topic that we are discussing, we will postpone it to 9 o'clock. Not that I don't want to take those questions, but at least let's have the satisfaction of covering some portions. And even though I had mentioned that 8 to 8:40 I will speak, and after that we will take questions, but I mean, let's not follow that protocol. But we'll strictly discuss Bhagavad Gita only from 8 to 9. But as and when you get some queries which are directly connected to the topic that we are discussing, you can ask in between also. So I'll not, you don't have to wait till 8:40 to ask those questions. Anytime you can just either unmute yourself and you can ask the question, or you can raise your hands and then ask the questions. Whatever you feel comfortable, we'll try to do that. But you know, we will not, you know, you don't have to wait till 8:40 to ask the question. As and when the question comes, you can please ask, no problem. So with that brief prelude, let's start today's discussion, and please feel free to stop me in between if you have anything to share, add, ask, whatever. Okay, so the first chapter is titled Observing the Armies on the Battlefield of Kurukshetra, and actually these chapters chapter titles actually varies from acharya to acharya. It is not like fixed. The chapter titling is not given by Krishna for sure. Parikshit Maharaj and Krishna. Sorry, I'm sorry. Okay, suddenly, you know, there is a question that came in the chat box and I got totally distracted. Parikshit Maharaj and Pandavas, are they the same personalities in every kalpa? Well, Pandavas for sure, yeah, they are Nitya Siddha devotees. Yes, they are the same. Anyway, so, anyway, let's continue. So these chapter titlings are given by the acharyas only. It's not given by either Krishna or Vyasadev who wrote it down. And even the chapter bifurcation is done by Vyasadev. It is not done by Krishna. It's like one coherent conversation that is happening between Krishna and Arjuna. It's not that Krishna says that, okay, till now I have spoken the ninth chapter. Now I will start the 10th chapter and speak. It's not like that. It's one coherent conversation that's happening between Arjuna and Krishna. But based on the change of themes, you know, wherever the theme changes from one theme to another theme, Vyasadeva has bifurcated it into 18 chapters. But otherwise, we should understand that it's one coherent conversation. Krishna does not divide it into chapters like that. So, the first chapter is titled Observing the Armies on the Battlefield of Kurukshetra. You know, Sainya Darshan, you know, where Arjuna is just taking Darshan of this thing. Or it is also called as Arjuna Vishada Yoga, where Arjuna gets bewildered. So, the first section is introduction section. So, okay, there is another point in the chat box. You mentioned that this commentary is the only one that comes close to CC realizations. Is Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita also the same? Yeah, very much, very much. Definitely. Prabhupada's all books are in line with the conclusions of Chaitanya Charitamrit. So, yes, that is true. Okay, so famous verse, I'm sure all of you know this verse. As I told you, there could be many, many things which can be spoken about, you know, each one of these verses, because different acharyas have given elaborate commentaries, but we will strictly stick to only Vishwanatha Chakravarti's commentary and keep moving. Okay, but if questions are there, we will take definitely. Okay, but we will stick. I'm not going to refer to multiple commentaries because that will delay the whole thing. Let's stick to one commentary and move ahead. And whatever is there, only that much we will discuss. But additional queries you have, we can discuss as long as you want. That's not a problem. Okay, let's start. Dhritarashtra uvacha dharmakshetre kurukshetre samavetayu yutsavah mamaka pandavaschaiva Kimakurvata Sanjaya. So Dhritarashtra is addressing Sanjaya. You know, Sanjaya, as you might know, was disciple of Vyasadev, and he had the special mercy of Vyasadev that he could actually see what was exactly happening in the you know, battlefield of Kurukshetra. So sitting right next to Dhritarashtra, who was blind, he was narrating while he was watching what was happening in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So he's addressing, "Oh Sanjaya, kim akurvata, kim mamakaha pandavas chaiva akurvata. What did my men or my sons and the Pandavas do?" Right? So this itself, you see, he had actually, both were Kurus only. And Pandava, if Kauravas were his sons, Pandavas were his nephews. So all belong to one family, but here itself, you know, he was seeing differently. And whatever you think that manifests in your words, he says, Mamaka, my people, and Pandavas, which means Pandavas were no longer belonging to him. He did not consider them as his own family. Samaveta, who had gathered, Yuyutsava. You see very clearly, this is a ridiculous question that actually, logically, if you see, it's a ridiculous question that Dhritarashtra is asking. He says, Yuyutsava, they have assembled there to fight. And then he's asking, King Makurvata, what did they do? Or what are they doing? Right? And then he says, where did they assemble? Kurukshetra, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, which he understands, he knows very well, it's a Dharma Kshetra. It is a place of Dharma. So there is a very, very important reason why he is using this word Dharma Kshetra to address Kurukshetra. We will see that. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, of course, I'm not going to every time say this because we are going to see only his commentary. How did Arjuna become bewildered and fall into ignorance? The speaker of the Mahabharata, Vaishampayana, started explaining the topic to Janamejaya in the Bhishma Parva with the following words. So this Bhagavad Gita comes in the Bhishma Parva, which is one of the longest episodes of Bhagavad Gita. The speaker of Mahabharata is Vaishampayana. Of course, there are many versions of Mahabharata. The popularly available version is what Vaishampayana spoke to Janamejaya, the son of Parikshit Maharaj. But there is another Mahabharata which was spoken by Jaimini Rishi to the same Janamejaya. Okay, so whereas this Vaishampayana's narration to Janamejaya is actually an out and out Dharma Shastra, which with instructions about Dharma or Varnashrama Dharma, okay, meant for Karma Yogis. You will not see any explicit instructions for performing bhakti. There is not much. Actually, there is almost none. Right? Because the nature of the book is different. It is meant for a different class of people. Okay? Who constitute almost, you can say, like 95% of the population, or even maybe even 99% of the population. But Jaimini's Mahabharata is a pure devotional literature. Okay, just like Srimad Bhagavatam. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is also the a corollary to Jaimini's Mahabharata, same Jaimini Rishi speaks to Janamejaya, and there he describes, actually Janamejaya speaks to Jaimini and he says, look, actually I heard the same Mahabharata from Vaishampayana Rishi, but I was not at all happy with it. Because it did not have any, I did not get any rasa out of it, because there was no description about worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when I heard the Mahabharata from you, O Jaimini Rishi, it was so much filled with rasa of worshipping Krishna. And I am feeling so inspired. Naturally, Because see the pedigree of Janamejaya. He was the son of Parikshit Maharaj, none other than Parikshit Maharaj. So he was naturally inclined to practicing pure devotional service. So when he heard Jaimini's Mahabharata, he was so inspired that he requested Jaimini, is there some additional detail that you might want to share with me? And then he spoke the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is a conversation between Parikshit Maharaj and Uttara. Right? So therefore, here the speaker of Mahabharata, Vaishampayana, started explaining the topic to Janamejaya in the Bhishma Parva with the following words. So Dhritarashtra said, please tell me what my sons headed by Duryodhana and the sons of Pandu headed by Yudhishthir were doing, having gathered together for fighting at Kurukshetra. You see, the very same line, he concludes, what did my sons and the sons of Pandu, what were they doing, having gathered together for fighting at Kurukshetra? I mean, it's a ridiculous question. If they have gathered together to fight on the battlefield, what would they do? They would fight only. Huh? So, Sanjaya might think, hey, but you yourself have said that they were desirous of fighting. So, why are you asking what they did? So, he says, oh, this place is a holy place. Kurukshetram Devayajanam says, Shatapata Brahmana. It's a Vedic text. Kurukshetram Devayajanam. Kurukshetra is a place for worshipping the Lord. So, he knew that, the place has a very powerful spiritual potency. So, he was thinking that the nature of that place may influence the result of the fratricidal war, right? As in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there are mentioned five causes of success of an activity. Okay, whether an activity will be successful or not depends on five factors. And the very first factor is called as Adhishtanam. Adhishtanam can refer to two things. One is the body, and second is the place. So Adhishtanam can mean the body or the place. So in this case, he knew that the place can have an effect. Just like, if someone is, playing sports, right? Then definitely, you always have the home field advantage, right? So similarly here, the place has a very strong dharmic this thing. So he was thinking that Dhritarashtra was thinking that maybe it might influence the result of the activity, result of the war. And the second is Tata Karta. So Karta here means Upadhi. Right? What is the Upadhi or the designation that you carry while performing that activity? Like say for example, if someone thinks that, one may have a body which is very properly built for being an athlete, for being an athlete, but the person himself may think that, I am a studious person and I like to study. If that is the upadhi he carries, even though he may have a body which is perfectly suited to become a very star athlete, but because he does not carry that upadhi of being an athlete, he will not pursue it. If he does not pursue it, then he will not be successful in it. Okay. So karta means karta bhav. That is also an important factor. And then the third is karanam. Karanam means the senses. One should have properly endowed senses to accomplish that particular act. Like say, for example, if you have to be a neurosurgeon, you should have, I mean, I'm just presuming, or if you have to be a cardio surgeon or whatever, you have to have very, very, fingers which are very deft and have the ability to do very fine things. You know, my fingers are extremely gross. You know, I can't even, I find it very difficult to even, thread a needle. It's too subtle for me. I can do gross things, subtle things with my hands is very difficult for me, painting or anything like that. So you should have senses which are actually endowed for that. And then there is karanam, adhishtanam tata karta karanam cha pratagya vivijasta. Hare Krishna, I'm sorry, I just poor internet connection, so I had issues. Okay, you can hear me now?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, I think I'll switch off my video also. I think it might be better. Okay, so the fourth is endeavor. Vividascha pratak cheshta. And then the fifth item which acts as the cause of success is Daivam. Daivam means karma, our karma. So we talk about destiny. Is everything predestined? No, not everything is predestined actually. Right, so Daivam is just one of the five factors which can contribute to the success, but the final success of the activity is a weighted mean. Weighted mean means, let's say for a particular activity, let's say if karma's role is 10 units, endeavor's role is 5 units, the senses role is 5 units, the upadhi is 10 units, okay, and adhishtanam is, let's say, 10 units, okay. So then so depending on how much you are, it is like, so the final success will be like 10x plus 10y plus 5z plus 5a plus 10b divided by 40, like that, whatever it may be. I'm just telling. So it's just like a weighted mean. So not everything depends on karma. Not everything depends on your endeavor also. So there could be particular activities which are heavily dependent on karma, very solidly predestined. And there could be some activities which may be very, very little karmic influence, but solidly dependent on endeavor. But whatever it may be, anyway, this is not the purpose of our discussion. The purpose of our discussion is that there are five causes of success of an activity, and one of which is actually adhishtanam, which can mean either body or place. And Dhritarashtra was aware of it. So therefore, he had an issue with the choice of the, this battle also. Battlefield. He had a problem with the choice of the battlefield. He was not very comfortable that Kurukshetra was chosen, because Kurukshetra is Dharma Kshetra and his sons were adharmic. I see some questions in the chat box. I'll take after we complete this purport. So after we complete this purport, I will pause for some discussion. So you can be ready with your questions if you have. So here Vishnu Jagadakur says, it is famous as a place which produces dharma. Due to association with this great place, the evil Duryodhana and company may give up their anger and take to the path of dharma. Okay. This is what Dhritarashtra wants Sanjaya to believe. He wants Sanjaya to believe that Dhritarashtra is wishing that the dharmic nature of Kurukshetra will have an effect on Duryodhana, so that he will give up his adharmic ways and he will become a dharmic person and stop this fight and maybe come to an amicable conclusion or amicable deal with the Pandavas. So this is what, because he wanted Sanjaya to think good about himself. Dhritarashtra spoke in this way and he thought that Sanjaya should take it this way. But in reality, Dhritarashtra was feeling that no, this should not happen. Like you see here, the Pandavas are naturally following dharma. Then both sides would have intelligence to see that they should not kill their own relatives and friends and negotiate peace. So this is what he wanted Sanjaya to believe, that Dhritarashtra really was a peace-loving person who really wanted this battle to stop, and he really wanted the nature of the dharmic place to have a positive influence on his sons. So externally he desired to show Sanjaya that he would be relieved if this were so, right? But internally, however, he found it hard to restrain his depression. For if there were a conciliation, then it would be difficult for his sons to claim the kingdom. He didn't want conciliation. He wanted war. Even though he knew that that would mean probably death of his sons, but still he wanted the war. Why he wanted it? Because he thought, as Bhishma, who is on our side, cannot be defeated by Arjuna, it is better that we fight. Let that happen. Because he thought, on the strength of Bhishmadev's power, he believed that somehow they could win the battle. So why go for a conciliation like that? It was not suitable, however, to show such desires externally. But he didn't want to show such desires externally. So he was asking, Dharma Kshetre Kuru Kshetre, as if wanting Sanjaya to believe that, I would be so relieved if Duryodhana gives up this desire to fight and makes peace. But he really did not want that. There is a hidden meaning in the word Kshetra, in the phrase Dharma Kshetra. Why is it called as Dharma Kshetra? It could have been called as Dharma Bhumi or whatever. So Kshetra means field, where you grow grains. He says, the field was a place for growing the grains of dharma. Therefore, this is Dharma Kshetra. So, Like you have a sugar cane field where you grow sugar cane, you have vegetable field where you grow vegetables, rice field where you grow rice. So this is dharma field, which is meant for growing the grains of dharma in the form of pious Yudhishthir, who was the very incarnation of dharma along with his supporters. So in a field of dharma, people like Dharmaraj, Yudhishthir would be grown. The field, a place for exerting oneself in the work of cultivating. So there needs to be a farmer who is doing farming on that field. That farmer is Krishna. The grain that he is going to grow are dharmic people like Yudhishthir Maharaj. So just like the farmer nourishes the grains by giving proper water, manure and everything, the farmer Krishna will nourish the grains of dharma by encouraging people like Yudhishthir Maharaj. Okay. The field, a place for many projects like blocking irrigation dikes and watering, was the place where Krishna would assist Yudhishthir in many ways to establish the grains of dharma. Right. So, in order to grow that grain, in order to nourish those grains, there are many things that you do. Right. You plow the field, you sow the grains, then you make proper irrigation systems, you know, whatever kind of irrigation that you might want to do. You have to put manure and so many other things, you know, that the farmer has to do. So, Krishna was doing the same on the battlefield by assisting Yudhishthir and the Pandavas in various ways so that they can flourish. Okay, but at the same place, there is also in the field, the grains also grow and the weeds also grow, because the same nourishment that the grains are getting, the weeds will also get. So the weeds would also grow. Okay, and the weeds. So the weeds, the enemies of the grains in the form of Duryodhana and others also grew there. But they would be destroyed by Krishna. Just like the farmer would remove the weeds. So similarly, in the field of dharma, adharmic persons like Duryodhana are the weeds and the farmer would naturally remove them. So that is the significance of the word kshetra that is used by Dhritarashtra here. Like that. So this is the explanation given by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur about this first verse. This indicates very much the mentality of Dhritarashtra. So at this point, I'll take some discussion questions. So here it is mentioned, Lokanath Prabhu is asking that Jaimini is the propounder of Purva Mimamsa or Karma Mimamsa philosophy, which is actually in one sense like atheistic philosophy, almost atheistic philosophy. So how did he speak pure devotional service? Okay. So somehow this was discussed recently in one another session also. Actually, even for that matter, Shankaracharya is Lord Shiva himself. And Lord Shiva is the greatest of Vaishnavas. Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. But he spoke Mayavad. Right? So, why did he speak Mayavad? In order to delude materialistic people. See, actually, Buddha spoke atheism, direct atheism. He spoke atheism or Shunyavad. Okay. And he rejected the Vedas. Right? And then came Shankaracharya. He spoke almost covered Buddhism only. For all practical purposes, it was atheistic, but he re-established the Vedas. Okay. And then came Ramanujacharya, Then came Madhvacharya. Then came Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, if you see Buddha, Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are in the same mission only. That is how we should understand actually. Jiva Goswami describes this in his Tattva Sandarbha also, right? So actually Buddha, why did he reject the Vedas? Because in the name of Vedas, people were just killing animals and doing all kinds of nonsense. So he says, okay, only on the authority of Vedas you are doing all such nonsense. So I will reject the Vedas. So in that way, he rejects the Vedas and he presents the philosophy of Shunyavad, which is almost like atheism. Okay. Then Shankaracharya came and he presented Mayavad, which is almost like Shunyavad only. So therefore, from a philosophical point of view, the Buddhists will not have serious difficulties accepting the philosophy of Mayavad because it's almost same as Buddhism, Shunyavad. Prachannam Bauddham. It's covered Buddhism only. But he said, look, this philosophy which you believe, this is given in the Vedas only. Of course, this is not given in Vedas, but if you take twisted meaning of the Vedas, then you can you will get Mayavad. So what did Shankaracharya do? He did not change the philosophy much, but he re-established the Vedas, which Buddha had rejected. Then Ramanujacharya came and he added Vishishta before Advaita. And he said, okay, essentially it is Advaita only, Ekam Brahma Dvitiya Nasti, but that Ekam Brahma, that one Brahman is actually not Nirvishesha Brahman, without any form, without any qualities. It's not that kind of Brahman. But this Brahman is actually has Vishesh. He has energies, he has form and all that. In that way, he sort of trimmed and changed and, sort of changed that whole, wherever mistakes were there in that Mayavad philosophy, he changed it actually. But it was not a very wholesale change, but wherever mistakes were there, he corrected. That's why if you see Ramanujacharya's commentary on the Vedanta Sutras, more than 50%, almost 70% of his commentary, I have not read, but I have heard about it. Almost 70% of the commentary, he repeats as it is what Shankaracharya's commentary is there, he repeats it because there is nothing wrong with that. Wherever Shankaracharya twisted it, there he changed it. And he established Vishishtadvaita. And by now, he has re-establishment of Vedas has already been done by Shankaracharya. Now, Ramanujacharya, what he did, he established personal form of Lord. Okay. Similarly, Madhvacharya also. And finally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and established worship of Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. Who is the reservoir of all rasas? Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Okay. So in this way, if you see, they all were like, runners in a relay race, 4 into 100 meters relay, So one person takes the baton and runs the first 100 meters and then hands it down to the second person and then the third person, the fourth person, like that, Like that, it's like one race which all of them are running, right? Like that. So, therefore, Shankaracharya, even though he was Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, greatest of the Vaishnavas, he spoke Mayavad. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in one sense to eventually establish Vrindavan worship. That was the purpose. He wanted to do that. So similarly, Jaimini also, he had that kind of a purpose of gradually connecting people who are very karmically, even because Buddhism and Mayavada are out and out for very philosophical people, thinkers. But what about materialistic people who really want to enjoy? How to connect them to the Vedas? So he introduced Karmavad. But within heart, he was actually a pure devotee of the Lord. But this was all plan of the Lord and he was executing the plan. This is described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita actually. Is that okay, Lokanath Prabhu? Does it answer your question?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay. Vrajradhe Mataji, you had something to ask.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, Mataji.
Prabhuji, you said this Ramanujacharya, he established this Vishishta Advaita philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Advacharya came and he established Dvaita philosophy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established Dvaita Advaita philosophy.
Yeah, Achintya Bheda Bheda.
Achintya Bheda Bheda. This Ramanujacharya, Vishishta Advaita. Advaita means the living entity and Supreme Lord are at the same level, right?
No. No, that is how they... the Mayavadis say that Advaita means there is no second entity. The only Brahman is there, nothing else is there. Ramanujacharya said, you are right. Only Brahman is there is nothing else. But that Brahman, he says, is not Nirvishesha Brahman, he is Savishesha Brahman. That Brahman has qualities, okay, energies. One is the Antaranga Shakti, then there is Bahiranga Shakti, then there is Tatastha Shakti, right? So through the Antaranga Shakti, the spiritual world is manifest, the spiritual forms are manifest, everything spiritual is manifest. Through the Bahiranga Shakti, the material universe is manifest, right? And through the Tatastha Shakti, the Jivas, they are manifest. So in this way, so that Brahman who possesses this Antaranga Shakti and the manifestations of Antaranga Shakti in the form of the spiritual world and the Bahiranga Shakti and the manifestations of Bahiranga Shakti in the form of the material world and the Tatastha Shakti and the manifestation of the Tatastha Shakti in the form of the Jivas. So all put together, Ekam Brahma Dvitiya Nasti. Apart from this, this because that Brahman along with his energies practically covers the spiritual world, material world and all the Jivas. That's all. So this is in one sense like Ramanujacharya's philosophy was very, almost like complete philosophy like that.
Means existence of living entities he has also established, Ramanujacharya.
Yeah. Anything else anyone would like to ask, or shall we move ahead? Any other questions? Okay, so if there are no further discussion points, let's move ahead to the next verse. So now Sanjay is going to answer the question asked by Dhritarashtra. Sanjay says, Sanjay Vacha Drishtvatu Panda Vyodam Duryodhanastada Acharyam Upasangamya Raja Vachanam Abravit. Drishtva Vyodam, seeing the military arrangement, Pandava Anikam. Anikam means the military troops of the Pandavas, seeing the arrangement of the military troops of the Pandavas, Tada Raja Duryodhana. Duryodhana was not the Raja. But still he is addressed as Raja because he was an expert in political diplomacy. For that reason he is addressed as Raja. even though he's not, he was not Raja actually. So Raja Duryodhanaha, Acharyam Upasangamya, he approached his Acharya Dronacharya, Vachanam Abravit, and he spoke the following words. There is there is a question asked here in the chat box. In current day and age, does holy places determine success? These days wars happen mostly in holy cities. Well, they do, but how they do, how much they contribute, it is beyond our scope to actually understand. But definitely they do, because Bhagavad Gita says adishtanam tata karta karanam cha pratak vidha. So if it was just a time bound thing, then Bhagavad Gita would not speak about it. So definitely the nature of the place, the holy or unholy nature of the place, or any other material quality that place may have, definitely influences the result. Okay, another question. Is Mahabharat predestined? Are Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra all Nitya Siddhas? No. Or were they just acting? No. And did all the people who die in the Kurukshetra battlefield went to spiritual world? Well, yeah. I mean, not really. Whoever took darshan of Krishna and were killed by the arrows of Arjuna, they all went to the spiritual world. Yeah, those were killed by Arjuna's arrows, which purified them. And when they saw the face of Krishna and left, yam iha niriksha hatagata swarupam. This is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhishma Dev says, yam iha niriksha hatagata swarupam. Whoever took darshan of the face of Krishna and left their body, they attained liberation. That is mentioned. So not everyone attained. That's not mentioned. I don't think so. Okay. So Duryodhana is going to speak now to Dronacharya. He says, Pashyaitam Pandu Putranam Acharya Mahatim Chamum Vyudam Drupada Putrena Tava Sishyena Dhimata. So he says, O Acharya, Pashya etam mahatim chamum. Can you see this great army, Panduputranam, belonging to the Pandavas? Vyudam, which is so beautifully arranged for battle. It's battle ready now. And you know who has arranged it? Tava dhimata shishyena. By your intelligent disciple. Who is that? Drupada Putrena, the son of Drupada. So Drupada and Dronacharya, as you might know, they were enemies actually. They were originally friends when both of them went to the same guru's Gurukul. But later, when Drupada became the king and Drona was still a poor Brahmana, when he once visited Drupada to seek some help, Drupada insulted him like anything. So from that day on, Drona wanted to take a revenge. So that way he trained the Pandavas, and the Pandavas defeated Drupada and took away the kingdom Drupada was so insulted that he performed austerities to beget a son who would kill Drona. And knowing that Drona would, being such a true Brahmana, even though he knows that Drishtadyumna, who is the son of Drupada, was born to kill Drona, but still, when requested, would not deny to teach him the military science. And because Drona was the best teacher, Drupada sent him to Drona only, knowing fully well that Drona would not reject. So he, Drupada, Drishtadyumna comes, learns that military science from Dronacharya only, And now he has become the commander in chief of the Pandava army. So he says, can you see? Tava dhimata shishyena, your intelligent disciple Drishtadyumna has arranged the military phalanx, indicating that he is so intelligent and you are so unintelligent that knowing that he has taken birth to kill you, you still didn't have the intelligence to decline to teach him. This is what Duryodhana is indicating. And now he is telling, look, whatever is between you and Drupada, that's none of my business. But what you did is going to cause the war for me. This is what he is indirectly indicating here. Right? So, understanding that Dhritarashtra wanted war, Sanjaya then spoke to make him aware that there would be war, but that the results would be the opposite of the fulfillment of his desires. He wanted to indicate that, yes, don't worry, war will be there. But you are so confident about the victory of your sons because Bhishma Dev is there on your side, but this is not going to happen. That's what he's indicating. Right? Pashyetam Panduputranam Acharya Mahatim Chamum Vyudam Drupada Putrena Tava Shishyena Dhimata. Duryodhana, seeing the arrangement of troops being prepared by the Pandavas, then speaks, revealing his inner fear in 9 verses, starting from the 3rd verse. So starting from the 3rd verse till the 11th verse, he is going to show his inner fear. So he is criticizing Dronacharya. He says, he tells him that he is very foolish because Drishtadyumna, the son of Drupada, was arranging the troops of the enemy. That person was Drona's student, having been taught by him, even knowing that he was born to kill him. So therefore he is telling, look, aapka shishya hai, par aap se bhi unko dimag achha hai. He has learned from you and he has come to kill you only. And knowing that you taught him like that. He says, Drishtadyumna is very intelligent because he has gained the knowledge of how to kill you from yourself, his enemy. See what will finally result from this greatly intelligent act in the future. You have done such an intelligent thing of teaching military science to your own nemesis who is going to kill you. So what is going to happen to me now because of that? Like that he is indicating. Okay. Then. Okay, there is some. Okay, what? There is a question in the chat box. What was the reason that he rejected teaching Ekalavya? Because Ekalavya did not have qualities of a Kshatriya. Ekalavya was not a Kshatriya, whereas Drishtadyumna was definitely a Kshatriya. So, a Brahmana, when he sees lack of qualification in a person to learn a particular science, he should not teach. Whereas, in the case of Drishtadyumna, he definitely was a qualified Kshatriya, whereas Ekalavya was not. So, therefore, he refused to teach him. Then he continues. Atra Shura Maheshwasa Bhimar Junasama Yudhi Yudano Viratascha Drupadascha Maharataha. So he says, do you see Atra Shura, such heroic persons, Maha Ishuvasa. Ishu means bow. Ishuvasa means who are very skillful in archery, right? Bhimarjuna Samayudhi, who are equal to Bhima and Arjuna in battle. Okay. Actually, Bhima was not known to be a very great archer. Arjuna was for sure. But still he uses the name Bhima first Because Duryodhana was really afraid of Bhima. And Duryodhana's greatest fear was Bhima, because both of them were experts in mace fighting. But, you know, Duryodhana was, even though Duryodhana was more skillful, Bhima, he was always afraid of Bhima's power. It was, he was mightily powerful, actually. And then he says, who are those brave men? Satyaki, Virata, and Drupada. Yuyudano, Viratascha, Drupadascha, Maharata. So Satyaki is, Yuyudana is also called as Satyaki, or Satyaki is also called as Yuyudana. And Drupada, he uses the name of the word Drupada also, because just to incite that anger in Dronacharya, because Drupada was the sworn enemy of Dronacharya. So just to incite that anger so that he will fight with a lot of, you know, intensity, he speaks like that. Then he continues. Drishtaketus chekitana kashi rajascha viryavan purujit kunti bodascha shaibyascha narapungavaha. Drishtaketu, here are Drishtaketu, chekitana, kashi raja, all of them are viryavan. They are very valorous, very heroic. Purujit, Kuntiboja, Shaibya, Narapungava, they are the best of men. They can fight very well. So they all are there. So he is just showing them, you see, you know, their army is studded with so many stars, actually. He is basically expressing his own inner fear. Yudamanyascha Vikranta Uttamaujascha Viryavan Saubhadro Draupadeyascha Sarva Eva Maharataha. There is Yudamanyu, who is Vikranta, very valorous. Uttamaujascha Viryavan, and Uttamauja is also very valiant. Then Saubhadro Draupadeyascha. Saubhadra is the son of Shubhadra, which was Abhimanyu, and Draupadeya, Draupadeyaha, plural, which means there were five sons of Draupadi, one each by Yudhishthir, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, and Sahadev. All of them are Maharathas, he says. All of them are Maharathas. Okay. So he says the leaders of their troops having great bows will be impossible to cut down. So that is why he is telling, you know, this is the suggestion of mentioning the bows. They are so powerful. How are we going to defeat them? Yuyudhana is Satyaki. Saubhadra refers to Abhimanyu. Draupadeya refers to five sons of Pandavas by Draupadi, such as Prativindya, like that. So now he is telling who is a Maharathi. So this is a verse from, okay, wherever, I don't know, maybe this is Mahabharat. Yeko dash shastrani yodayet yastu dhanvinam shastra shastra praveenascha maharata iti smrittaha atan yodayet yastu samprokto atiratastu saha chaikena yo yudyet tad nyuno ardharatas smrittaha. He says a maharata is one man who can fight alone with 10,000 archers and who is expert in both weapons and scriptures. Shastra Shastra Praveenaha. This is Maharata. Amitan Yodaye Dyastu Atirataha Samproktaha. So one who can fight with 10,000 archers is a Maharata. And Atirata is one who can fight with unlimited troops, or another understanding is 60,000 archers. This is Atirata. Okay. Ratischa ekena yo yudyet. But a Ratha is one who can fight with one opponent. He is a Rati. Tad nyuno ardharata smritaha. But one who cannot deal even with one opponent, he is an ardharati. Like that. So he is talking that, you know, all of them are Maharathis. You know, like that. Okay, it's time now. So now, if there are any quick questions in connection with the Bhagavad Gita, what we have seen today, maybe quickly we will take, and after that, if there are any further questions, we can discuss. If there are any topics that you might want to discuss, we can discuss that also. So the floor is open. You can please go ahead.
Prabhuji, I have a question. Just out of curiosity, because when we hear about Drishtadyumna fighting against Guru, and even the Pandavas are fighting against Guru, so according to Karma Yoga, this is wrong, right? But we, like, as in bhakti, we are taught that they are doing this because Krishna is instructed, and they are pleasing Krishna.
No. Whether even according to the Dharma Shastras, whether it is wrong or right, how do we know? We have not studied the Dharma Shastras.
Fighting.
Yeah, but I mean, we can't use logic here. Right? What do the Dharma Shastras actually say? Because it is not so simple. So we tend to oversimplify things, but it's not so simple actually. There are many, you know, normally one should not fight with one's guru, but under what circumstances one can fight with one's own guru, and what are the nitty-gritties, these are described in detail in the Dharma Shastras. Like, say, for example, even in Bhakti Shastras, you know, the generic understanding is one should not disobey one's guru. But there are many, many other details under what circumstances one can disobey, what to speak of disobeying, under what circumstances one can reject one's guru. You know, such provisions are there. But the generic understanding is, yes, you should not disobey the guru's instructions. But there are much more other details to it. So even according to Dharma Shastra, we do not know for sure that so one should not fight with one's own guru under any circumstances. Because this is one thing is definitely they had taken the side of adharma. So under such circumstances also, are they not supposed to fight with their own guru? Well, we do not know. Definitely, you know, the Dharma Shastras would talk about it. Is that relevant, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you. Because I just wanted to know what is the explanation that the Karma Yogis or the others would be giving. That is just... Prabhuji, if it is possible, Vishwanath, my son Vishwanath, he has something from the Mahabharata that he wants to ask you. Is it okay?
Yeah. I mean, if there is anything immediately connected to Lokanath Prabhu has also unmuted. Maybe for a second, okay. We will see if he has something to something to ask. Lokanath Prabhu, you wanted to ask something?
Prabhuji, this is a general question outside this discussion. Just about, okay. You mentioned incarnation, so this is a lengthy question, so you can take Vishnath question.
Yeah, okay, Prabhu.
Yeah.
Okay. Vishwanath,
this is something. Vishwanath has something about this Maharatha, Atiratha kind.
Prabhuji, where did you get this Maharatha wala source? Like
this one,
where is this shloka?
Oh, this probably is from Mahabharata, but I can find the source and let you know.
Okay,
no, because you say because he has this Mahabharata open.
Like, I just wanted to check ye archers hai ki warriors hai, kyunki Mahabharata wala isme warriors tha. Sorry,
maybe, yeah. Let me see here. It says Dhanvinam. Means archers, actually.
Okay, sorry. I thought he had some... He's got the Mahabharata of Krishna Dharma Prabhu open over here. So I thought that's why. Chalega, Prabhuji. No one.
Okay.
Look,
nothing. Yeah.
Prabhuji, this is regarding incarnations. So, like it is mentioned about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he had an internal reason of incarnation. Mm-hmm. To me, it appears that the whatever reasons mentioned about incarnations are actually external, and probably there was an internal reason. Like if we say Lord Buddha came to stop violence, mm-hmm. then the violence which is there at present is unprecedented, and actually majority of animals that are being killed actually cows. That mm-hmm. time no one was killing cows. Mm-hmm. Similarly, if we say that this thing Lord Parshuram came to kill the this thing Kshatriyas mm-hmm. who were deviated. So mm-hmm. now the type of ruler which are there, this is there's no match. Similarly, if we say that Lord Krishna came to establish dharma, he wanted to remove adharma and establish dharma, mm-hmm. then actually we see that at the time of Mahabharata, every warrior used to do their sandhyas. That mm-hmm. was the level that was there. Mm-hmm. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj probably ruled for around 37 years or so. And mm-hmm. then he left, and then Parikshit Maharaj came. He was also stopping Kali, so he was also removed. And then the kings that they are coming, they are of no this thing. So to me, it appears that probably there was a plan to bring Kali, and because the kings that were there, if they would have continued ruling, then Kali would have taken a long time, because they were following all those whatever karmakand they were following. So probably there was a design by them. And even like Lord Buddha, probably his main purpose was there to philosophically remove the Sanatan Dharma. And of course, if we see history, like he caused a philosophical damage to the this thing Vedic system. Then this thing came, Buddhism, Jainism caused. Then Muslims came. They caused physical damage. They physically damaged the this thing, temples and scriptures and all those things. Then mm-hmm. the Britishers came, they caused psychological damage. Now people still have this inferiority complex that mm-hmm. They are superior and we are inferior and all those things. To me, it appears that it was a plan to just bring, because of Kali had come. Of course, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all, they were preaching this thing, Bhakti Yoga, because that also has to flourish. But generally, it should spread. That is what I feel. But have some acharyas mentioned this thing, or someone has said this? Is what I wanted to know.
Well, the acharyas must have definitely mentioned about particular incarnations, additional reasons for their appearance also. But the most important reason why the incarnations come every once in a while is to, you know, is to actually give pleasure to the devotees, because when they appear, then the devotees can take darshan of the form of the Lord. They can participate. Then they have positive memories to remember of the Lord. They can meditate on that and then perfect their life. So therefore, the main reason why the Lord appears, because to destroy adharma and all that, he can do it without having to come himself. But the main reason why the Supreme Lord appears in various incarnations is to give pleasure to his devotees who can worship him. That is the main reason. So to destroy all this, as you mentioned, you know, these various other kinds of adharmic things, you know, they're, you know, you know, he could do it in many other ways also. He does not have to personally come for that. But there were certain, demons who are so powerful that they could not be killed by anyone else but Krishna, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his incarnations. So, for those purposes, like for example, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, or Ravana Kumbhakarna, or Shishupal and Dantavakra, or Kamsa, you know, they were, at least Shishupal and Dantavakra, all of them were actually Nityasiddhas, you know, they were Jaya Vijaya. So no ordinary mortal is capable of killing them. So for that, personally, the Lord has to come. So even the Lord's material energy cannot be used to kill them, actually, because Lord's material energy cannot have an effect on the Nitya Siddhas, who had come in the form of demons, actually. So the Lord had to personally come. So multiple reasons. So there could be unlimited reasons which Krishna, which the Lord accomplishes through one appearance. So the Acharyas have explained at various places particular reasons for the appearance of different incarnations. And there is not one reason. Krishna accomplishes multiple purposes by one appearance like that. Is that okay, Prabhu?
I was discussing like those who are Shaktyavish avatars, we don't much hear their pastimes, etc. We just like Lord Buddha and Lord Parshuram and all. But actually, we don't release much of their pastimes. So probably they were just sent, as I mentioned. Because Lord Parshuram, it was because of him that the Kshatriyas, they went and settled to European countries, etc. And then they became dominant, and then they came and they controlled us, etc. So,
okay.
To me, it appears that probably there was a design. I don't know, but
I mean, ultimately, everything happens according to a design only, definitely. But what that purpose is, that is revealed by the Acharyas only. We cannot.
Yeah, that is what I wanted to confirm with
you. Yeah. So I don't know personally what is the purpose. The Acharyas have mentioned about the appearance of, what is the design behind. Appearance of Parashuram and other such Shaktyavesh avatars, but definitely there is it is mentioned in the Shastras and the Acharyas have commented on it. So
even like if we see previous ages, so wherever there was disturbance political, the sages would actively get involved. But when it came to Kali Yuga, then they would say ki they don't bother whatever is happening. Even when Britishers were there, Bhaktivinoda Saraswati Maharaj, although he was very popular, He said ki, we should not get involved. Even to Prabhupada, he said ki, the politics doesn't matter. So probably because it's Kali Yuga, so people say ki, anyway, other externality is going to be hopeless only, but we have to preach it.
No, because Prabhupada's mission and Bhaktisiddhanta Satakur's mission, they were a pure devotional mission. So therefore, they stuck to, not everyone was doing everything. So Bhaktisiddhanta Satakur was not that kind of a Brahmana. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was an Acharya, not like Dronacharya. Dronacharya was an archery teacher, whereas Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was an Acharya to establish the Bhakti movement. So such an Acharya has nothing to do with politics. There are Brahmanas are of different categories. Even within Brahmanas, there are Karmanishta Brahmanas, there are Jnananishta Brahmanas, there are Yoganishta Brahmanas, and then there are pure Vaishnavas. So not all Brahmanas would have a say in the politics. It was only those who had Karmanishta who would actually involve themselves in guiding kings as to how they should rule. Whereas Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was not that kind of a person. He was not that kind of a Brahmana. He had pure devotional faith. So he had nothing to do with involving himself in the politics and administration. So it is very naive to think that all Brahmanas were guiding the Kshatriyas with political administration. This is not true. Even within Brahmanas, there were various classes of Brahmanas. Only those who had Karmanishta or Karma Adhikar, they would actually guide the Kshatriyas in with political administration like that.
Okay, thank you, Guruji.
Hare Krishna. Anything else? Any other discussion point? Anyone would like to ask?
Nirmal Chandra Prabhu had sent a question on the chat, no?
Okay, just 1 second. Let me check, Mataji. Which is the question? Okay, yeah. Krishna recommended Guna Karma Vibhagashah, but whole Mahabharata is Janma Karma Vibhagashah. Like Ekalavya and Ultimate Karna. Why? Well, how do we know that in Mahabharat it was not Gunakarma Vibhagasha? Actually, we think that Dronacharya would have taken an opinion or a decision to not teach Ekalavya based on his birth. But I don't know. I don't think he would have taken a decision that way. He must have definitely, being a qualified Brahmana, he would have ways and means of actually understanding the actual qualification of Ekalavya also. I think Ekalavya, there is a episode, I don't know, I have not studied Mahabharata, but here and there, whatever little I have heard from others, you know, just to show his archery talent, you know, he shot so many arrows and closed the mouth of a barking dog or something like that. Even though that showed his archery skill, but in reality, I think a Kshatriya would not give so much trouble to an innocent animal which is not fit to be hunted or something like that. So, these were, Dronacharya and others were not ordinary people. Just by looking at the, you know, physiognomy of a person, just looking at that person's body and his face and the way he conducts himself, you know, they could easily guess what his guna would be, whether he is qualified to be a Kshatriya or not. So, I mean, I would personally, probably, I don't know for sure, but I am pretty sure that definitely it was not just based on birth. He would have definitely seen some qualities in Ekalavya which were not fit to be, which were not fit to be a Kshatriya.
Prabhuji, can I say something?
Yes, Prabhu, go ahead.
Prabhuji, maybe also one of the reasons is that Ekalavya belonged to a Nishadha tribe, and historically that tribe was not very favorable to the kingdom of Hastinapur. So he came from that tribe, which if he was allowed to be groomed into a very nice archer, then it would pose a risk to the kingdom itself.
Well, something like that. Maybe. Yeah, I mean, if it is mentioned that way in Mahabharata, then that would be a reason. But I'm not very sure. I've not read Mahabharata, so I cannot comment on that. But I can comment on the principle that he has mentioned here, that Krishna has created the Varnashram based on Guna and Karma. But how is it that in the case of people like Ekalavya and Karma, it is Janma Karma Vibhagasha? Well, I don't really think so in one sense. Even though they may speak in that way, you know, a Sutta Putra, things like that. But definitely, they must have seen some qualities in them which were probably not fit to be, would make them fit to be a qualified Kshatriya. That is my understanding.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
In that way, Duryodhana was also not fit for that good Kshatriya qualities. No, he also tried to kill Bhima even in the childhood. So, but then still he was accepted.
Hey, that's what Madhya. Yeah, that is why for that we should have, we can have this discussion only if we have studied the Dharma Shastras, which actually talk about what are the guna and karma of a Kshatriya in detail. So otherwise we are just discussing something without having a proper knowledge. I have not personally studied the Dharma Shastras nor Mahabharata, so I cannot comment on this. But there must be some scriptures which discuss in detail what are the qualities. Mahabharata itself, I am sure, there are a lot of chapters which have instructions on Dharma. Bhishma Dev speaks, Vidura speaks and so many other such things that must have lot of details about Kshatriya Dharma and the qualities needed of a Kshatriya. So whether Duryodhana had or not, we have to see if some Acharyas have commented on that. I don't know for sure.
Prabhuji, Bhagavad Gita was spoken later on after Mahabharata Yuddha, and before that only Karna was rejected and this Ekalavya was also rejected. So, and in Bhagavad, means like Nirmalachand Prabhu is asking that on the basis of Gita, and in Gita, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying Guna Karma Vibhagasha. So,
oh, that's okay, but you know, he is mentioning it that way. But that was well known. It was not just because Krishna spoke in Bhagavad Gita. After that, it was Guna Karma Vibhagasha. Since the time, since time immemorial, whenever you know the Varnashram system has been there, it has always been Guna Karma Vibhagasha only, the way it was created. So even though Bhagavad Gita was spoken a few days later, but it's not that only then everyone came to know, oh, it is based on guna and karma. It's not like that. It has always been like that.
Because this is very burning issue while preaching, actually. This comes in between always.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, why did Dronacharya reject Ekalavya based on birth? That's what you're telling, right, Navru?
Karna and Ekalavya, both.
Yeah,
both.
It was definitely not, it would have definitely not been based on birth. This is my guess. Maybe if you ask someone like Govind Prabhu, he might give various reasons, you know, what are the qualities, the Kshatriya qualities which are not there in Ekalavya, which were not there in Karna. He might be able to tell. But definitely Dronacharya would not have made this decision. Especially such a personality who was willing to teach the person who had taken, who would kill him. Why would he not teach Ekalavya? Ekalavya had not taken birth to kill him. But definitely as a Brahmana, he would have seen that these two personalities did not have Kshatriya qualities. For that purpose, he did not teach them.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes, bro. Yes, bro. Shyamlal Prabhu, you can go ahead. Hari Bol, Shyamlal Prabhu.
Can you hear me?
Yes, bro, I can hear you.
Yeah. So, just as Nirmal Chandra Prabhu said, it was like Janma Karma based on birth and karma. I'm just thinking.
Not birth and karma, Guna Karma. Okay. Guna Karma. Yeah.
Yeah, so are there any examples in the Mahabharata where somebody of a low birth was given training of being a Kshatriya or something like that, or being a Brahmana, even though there was somebody with low birth? So I'm asking this question because this comes up in preaching, many people question. So how do we contradict them?
Well, okay. So there is, I cannot quote from Mahabharata because as I told, I have not studied it, but there is this Jabala Upanishad, which was spoken by Jabali Rishi, and this Jabali Rishi himself was, the son of a prostitute, actually, Satyakama Jabali. When he approached a particular guru and requested, that can you please accept me as your disciple? The guru asked, who are you and who is your father? So he told that, I don't know who my father is. And of course, I'm simplifying the story, but there could be much more details. I mean, I am sure the guru must not have decided purely based on this. He must have seen some character traits in him which were very favorable. And then he said, okay, you go and ask your mother and come. So he goes and asks his mother. Mother said, actually, honestly speaking, I don't know. So he comes and tells that I don't know. So somehow, based on this answer, and definitely the guru must have seen other character traits, and then he decided, yes, you know, seeing your character, I can see that you must be a Brahmana only. So I will teach you. And he taught him, and he became a very big rishi, actually, Jabali Rishi. So this is a very famous story of Satyakam Jabali. And another thing is that in the traditional society, at least even till a few, maybe 100 years back, because the samskaras were followed very scrutinizingly, so you know the brahmanas would follow the samskaras of the brahmana varna, and the kshatriyas would do the same. So that way, you know, the pedigree was very carefully protected. Very rarely someone who is born in a brahmana family would not get the kind of samskaras, and or sometimes due to bad association or whatever, they may develop qualities which are contrary to their varnas, and they become varna sankara. But in general, because the, you know, for the marriage ceremony and everything, you know, the appropriate brides or grooms were chosen according to their particular varna, and subsequently particular samskaras were performed. So somehow the purity of that varna was generally maintained. And so therefore it was very rare that a person born in a Brahmana family would get the Brahminical samskaras, and he would develop Brahminical qualities and end up doing Brahminical karma only. So even though varna is not based on birth, but in most cases in a traditional Vedic society, the birth is a very reasonable indicator of one's varna. Very reasonable indicator of one's varna, generally. So, and even in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, there are places where the verse itself says, the dharma according to one's birth, you know, and Prabhupada explains it as varnashrama dharma only. If you see the purport in which, you know, for example, in the seventh canto, in the third canto, there are 2-3 instances that I can recollect where the verse says dharma by birth, and Prabhupada in the purport explains full varnashrama dharma only. So even though when Prabhupada says that varna is not based on birth, what it means is varna is not necessarily always based on birth. But in a traditional Vedic society, birth is a very reasonable indicator of one's varna. So it is like an RT-PCR test with 95% success rate. So birth is like that. So birth is like an RT-PCR test with 95% success rate, you can say, in the traditional Vedic society. But now the age progressing or degrading more and more, with no one actually in a, no traditional Vedic samskaras are followed mostly by most people. So therefore, it's not a very reasonable indicator, actually.
Yes. This is rational, actually. It must be one of the biggest cause for Mahabharata. In fact, Karna was rejected on his birth, and the things took in wrong direction. That's why Krishna had to lead towards the world war that time. Yeah. This may be like this became the ritual that everyone who has born in the family of Kshatriya, so 100% are Kshatriyas. This became mm-hmm. ritual and they were following this ritual. And mm-hmm. out of that ritual, the things took in wrong direction, that Karna felt humiliated, and factually he was actually Kshatriya, but he felt humiliated. And yeah. then the thing started wrongly. Yeah, this
quite is possible.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, Mataji.
Yes, Prabhuji, my sister, she wants to share something she heard from Govind Prabhu about why Duryodhana was accepted.
Yeah.
By Dronacharya. Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Actually, there are so many lectures by Govind Prabhu. So I heard in one of the lecture that this Dronacharya, Guru Dronacharya, he was in that state of mind at that particular time mm-hmm. that Kripi, she was asking for money. Like mm-hmm. you should go and, you know, you should take shelter of someone and you can mm-hmm. You know, bring money and you can feed Ashwathama milk. So that was the condition. And he was just recently rejected by his own best friend, Drupad. So Drupada. He came.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. So he came on the way then because of Bhishma, because he knew this is Kuru dynasty. And because of Bhishma, he has to accept all the Rajkumaras. Mm-hmm. So he might be knowing about Duryodhana's birth inside, but that was his condition. And about Ekalavya, he could understand that his intentions were not good for Kuru dynasty, and already he was eating a salt of Kuru dynasty. So mm-hmm. that was his dharma, to protect Kuru dynasty from their enemies. Mm-hmm. So it was not about casteism, it was about political reason.
Okay, so there was political reason why he did not accept. Okay, yeah.
Prabhuji, can I ask?
Yes, Mataji.
So, Prabhuji, you had mentioned earlier that Mahabharata is not a part of the Bhakti Shastra, right? Mm-hmm. Not completely Bhakti, it's more of a Dharma Shastra. Mm-hmm. So, you also explained Ramanuja and Madhvacharya. And we've always assumed that they have propagated Bhakti.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, but in the Madhvacharya, like Mahabharata is greatly. So, what does he say in the Mahabharata in such a way that bhakti part comes out there?
Yeah, we will take up this question, Mataji. It's 9:34 right now, but I think next Friday at 9 o'clock we can start with this question and. And maybe connected questions we can take next Friday. Is that okay, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. No problem.
Yeah, because it's yeah. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and participation. So next Friday we will continue with our Bhagavad Gita, and at 9 o'clock we will take assorted questions like this, and we will discuss. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.